Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, Eldorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
Hour three of the GBAC Nation. We are now just an hour and 15 minutes away from Brian Broaddus's little Nitro Gummy Bear payoff as we roll on here. Pregame Sunday, 9 o'clock with the kickoff at noon. New Orleans Saints in town to take on your Cowboys. And joining us now for more perspective on the Saints is New Orleans Times Picayune writer Luke Johnson. Covered the Saints down there. And a good afternoon, sir. How the heck are you?
I'm doing great, guys. Thanks for having me on.
So how much are the Saints getting it figured out here in the post-Peyton and Breeze era?
Well, I mean, it looked really good last week. Another big question is how much of that was the Panthers and how much of that was the Saints? You know, I think... a lot of us were really excited to see what this new offense would look like with Clint Kubiak calling plays. You know, he brought over a lot of the same concepts that they used with great success over there in San Francisco. And you've seen that the branches of that tree have a lot of success across the league. So, you know, then they go out and they score on their first nine possessions and everything looks great against Carolina. But I think you're talking about a whole different animal here with the Dallas Cowboys. I think a lot of us are intrigued to see what it looks like against them.
How's the personnel gone about learning that new Kubiak style?
Well, you know, it's interesting. I mean, obviously they went through all their big installs this off season, and you know, everybody talked about how, you know, it was pretty player friendly, pretty easy to pick up. You know, the verbiage was a lot less chaotic than the stuff they use under Sean Payton, where you had these, you know, 25 word salad play calls that don't make any sense to anybody who's not inside the building. So it's kind of stripped down. And I think the thing that is most interesting is that they've taken a lot of stuff off Derek Carr's plate. You know, you look at some of these offenses and what they've done across the league, and, you know, you see it obviously in San Francisco with what Shanahan's doing with Brock Purdy, and he's the guy, right? And then you look at, you know, Mike McDaniel's gotten a lot out of Tua Tagovailoa, and Bobby Slowick had C.J. Stroud playing like one of the best NFL quarterback rookies in NFL history. So, I think one of the things they do is they say, like, look, this is all going to work within the scheme of the offense, and we don't want you to be doing, you know, a bunch of stuff up at the line of scrimmage and making checks and calls and having all this stuff on your plate. A lot of it is going to be taken care of for you. And, you know, we're going to be doing this, like, kind of pure progression system where it's like 1, 2, 3, ball out. And you know, I think for a guy like Derek Carr, who for the majority of his career has had a lot of control at the line of scrimmage, this has actually allowed him to kind of free things up and just kind of play within the system. And it looked really good in week one. Now, again, they ran for 180 yards and they didn't, you know, I think they only allowed 5 pressures the entire game. I think you could probably knock both of those numbers way down or way up, depending on what your perspective is against the Dallas Cowboys in their front.
Hey, Luke, sat down and watched the defense, and I really don't know which way they're going to attack in this game, because I don't know if it was about Carolina and that quarterback, or is this a coordinator in Dennis Allen that's trying to create pressure because he doesn't think he can get home with 4. Do you have any ideas which way this thing might go?
I mean, I think it would be I think it was more kind of who they were playing. You know, he's a young quarterback. They feel like they can kind of throw some stuff at him that he's not going to expect, and that I think they know they're not going to get that with Dak. So, look, any Dennis Allen defense, you know, going back to any of his teams here with the Saints, like they all want to win with four,
right?
And they don't want to blitz if they can help it. And I think that's going to be the case this week. It would be really surprising me if they just sent a bunch of pressure packages at Dak. You know, they want to see what Chase Young can do. You know, against whether it's Tyler Guyton or
Steele.
Yeah. Sorry, thank you.
No problem.
You know, they want to see what he can do, and they want to see what Carl Granderson can do. And you know, I think they have an interesting third down package where. Yeah, they've got four pass rushers on the field. They'll slide Cam Jordan on, into the inside. You know, right. A guy who's probably going to be a Hall of Fame player. Definitely not the same player he was 5 years ago, but they'll slide him inside. And they've got Brian Brzee, their first round pick last year, a really nice interior pass rusher. So I think they can win with four. I don't know if they can do it against this Cowboys offensive line. No, I think they're a really solid unit. I think Guyton and BB were both. Really strong additions to that group, and they've obviously had a ton of success. They know how to coach those guys up, but I do think that's how they're going to want to approach this one.
Chatting with Luke Johnson here, Saints writer in the G-Bag Nation, 105.3 The Fan. You brought up offensive line there. Fuaga questionable, hasn't practiced the last 2 days, and then Marshawn Lattimore as well, also questionable, hasn't practiced the last 2 days. Those would be two huge losses for the Saints. Any update on their status possibly for Sunday?
Well, we talked to Dennis Allen after practice today, and he seems like he feels like he's in a pretty good spot with Fuaga. This is something he dealt with in training camp as well, and he missed. A preseason game when they were doing that, but I don't know if it was just because it's a preseason, they don't want to throw him out there for that. It might be a situation where they feel kind of comfortable with him going out there. And for a rookie, he's a guy who they actually feel pretty okay with if he misses some practice time, which is kind of a big departure from the way the Saints have traditionally done business. Like if you didn't practice, you don't play. I don't think that's the case with them anymore. So he could be out there, and they desperately need him. For a guy who's only playing in his second NFL game, he might be their second best offensive lineman. They're really, really thin there, really talent deficient. It could be a problem for him if he doesn't play. Lattimore, I'm a lot less optimistic about it from a Saints perspective. He said he was feeling okay after the game on Sunday, but he didn't practice all week, and I think a hamstring is a thing where you don't want to aggravate that and have it be a lingering issue. So they said he's going to be kind of like a game day decision, but I'd be kind of probably leaning toward him not playing. And they can weather the storm a little bit better at corner than they could at offensive tackle. They've got Kool-Aid McKinstry, their second round draft pick, who they really like. They can fill him in for Lattimore. And still feel pretty good. I mean, Lattimore missed, I think, 10 games last year, and they still finished with that top 10 passing defense. That one's a little bit easier to manage. But one of the things that they do with Lattimore is they have him tail the opposing team's number one, and obviously that's a big deal in this game. So you're talking about potentially Alante Taylor, their slot corner, having to go up against one of the NFL's best wideouts. That's a mismatch. That's something they've got to consider, but I'm just kind of leaning toward him not being available.
Alvin Kamara had a bit of a turn back the clock game on Sunday. What do you think about the way they're using him in this new offense?
Man, it's so exciting. It's been really frustrating watching him have to play in this offense the last couple of years. It's like they didn't really know how to use him. They were trying to use him as kind of the traditional bell cow back. And you wondered whether he still had it. You wonder whether he still had his fastball because, look, it's been 2 years since he had a 20-plus yard run. Seeing them get him in the open field, it was awesome. You get to see what the guy could still do, and he's still clearly a very good player. I think it's something that we were all kind of anticipating because he looked really good in training camp, but you just never really know until you see him go up against another team. He didn't really do much in the preseason. I feel like this run game is always going to be, when you're talking about like a Kubiak offense, even going back to what his dad did with the Broncos and the Houston Texans and Terrell Davis and Arian Foster. And that, you know, there's these running backs have huge years in this system, and you can see why. They were for all the talk that their offensive line has gotten, and it's been a lot, especially locally. They've been kind of trashed all off season. They were paving some big holes, and they were getting Alvin Kamara in space, and lo and behold, he looks great. Can they do it again this week? I don't know, but like I think in terms of like the overall season, we're going to see something a lot closer to like the 2020 Alvin Kamara than we have in a long time. And I think that's really exciting for Saints fans.
So, Luke, in NFL cities where the team isn't running something like a McVay or Shanahan or now Clint Kubiak style offense, you know, there's people there who are following the trends and looking at the metrics of what kind of an advantage you get with this motion at the snap and these kind of concepts. How powerful and exciting is it to see it, you know, taking root inside the organization that you cover? And what's been sort of the reaction from the fans as this thing is coming to fruition?
Well, I'll tell you, just from my perspective, it makes it a lot more entertaining to watch the game. It feels like it's a lot harder to predict what they're going to do. Yeah, they were running the same offense from 2006 to 2023. There are variations of it. And you can do that when you've got Drew Brees pulling the trigger, and you know he's like a human supercomputer back there, and he makes everything go. But when you take a Hall of Fame quarterback out of that and ask somebody to go do what Drew Brees is doing, it just looks boring and flat. So it's been great. I mean, they were, I think, number two or number one in the NFL in pre-snap motion usage this week. They were dead last in the NFL last year. They were top five in play-action usage. They were dead last in the NFL last year. It's just refreshing to see some new ideas. And I can tell you confidently that the Saints fan base is all about it because, yeah, they've just been – I mean, it was so apathetic here this offseason. Like, nobody cared. Just because they've been kind of the same boring version of a mediocre NFL team for the last couple of years, and it's just injected some life into the fan base.
Do those fans have any love for Dak?
You know, I don't know. I think there's a lot of people, you know, around here who just like with anywhere, just like kind of irrationally hate the Cowboys. So even though he's a Louisiana product, you know, they're like, well, he didn't go to LSU. So, any place for the Cowboys. So like, you know, no love lost here. But I'm sure, you know, if Dak didn't sign that mega contract and he was a free agent next year, everybody would have been like, let's please go get Dak. He's a really good player, man.
Hey, you mentioned the fan apathy. How critical is this season for Dennis Allen and Derek Carr?
I mean, it's huge. If you would have told me before the year that they would have gone like, you know, 10-7 and you know, won a mediocre NFC South and gotten into the playoffs, I think people would have been pissed off, you know, because they had so much dislike for him, or at least the, you know, let's call it the vocal minority, right? The people you see on Twitter or you know, whatever, talking about the team, they just couldn't stand either of those guys. So, they've got a lot of work to do, both Dennis Allen and Derek Carr, to just kind of like reset what the fan base thinks of them here. But you know, a really, really good first step. Yeah, people can say all they want about how much they don't care what the team does. They want those guys out of here. But like, if they go out and they're top five in the NFL in scoring, and they're fun every week, and they're, you know, competitive and pushing for real legitimate playoff spots and positioning, I think people change their minds. But it's up to them to do it. And you know, this is really where they're going to start to be tested. I mean, the first like 5-6 weeks of the season are pretty brutal. I mean, they open up with Carolina, great, but they go to Dallas and then Philadelphia, then they got to go on the road to Atlanta, and then they got Kansas City, then Tampa Bay right after that. That's tough. They can get through that stretch looking okay and, you know, not looking like they're heading for another losing or mediocre season. I think people feel pretty good around here.
Luke Johnson, New Orleans Times-Picayune, thank you so much for your insights. A terrific report, sir.
My pleasure, guys. Talk to you soon.
Salute. He's out of here. That's a good one right there.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good, good information there on this football team trying to emerge here. Obviously, you get excited about beating Carolina. They finished last year strong, but they haven't beaten anybody good. You know, so they're looking at this as a huge opportunity, but they're a touchdown dog coming into AT&T Sunday kickoff at noon, pregame at 9. Top 10's next. Well, Chuck, what do we got?
Chatting with Eric about a potential idea, and we're going to do it. Top 10 most disgusting foods in the world. What's the most disgusting thing you've ever put in your mouth? 877-881-1053. We got some big CMC news. And Drew Brees talking about that Mike Zimmer defense. That's next in the nation.
Oh, such a clutch offseason pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too. What,
you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait. Pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month. Brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Welcome back, Nation. Flagtober 2024 is in the works, an iconic flag, unlike anything you've ever seen. Many will say it's the best flag ever, and Flagtober's Tour de DFW coming up on the 29th. Stay tuned for details in our route. Segments brought to you by Window Nation. Go to windownation.com. It's brought to you by the Frankels. Life is unpredictable. Accidents happen. Franklin Frankel, the go-to attorneys for car and truck wrecks in DFW. If you or a loved one's been in an accident, contact the Frankels for your free consultation, 214 or 817-333-3333. Go to frankelfirm.com. And here he is, Zach with an H. You're Wooly Bully.
All right, we'll get to the most disgusting foods here in the world. 877-881-1053. What's the grossest thing you've ever eaten? But we did get news that CMC, Christian McCaffrey, officially is out against the Vikings. And head coach Kyle Shanahan said, quote, putting him on IR, something we're considering now. Yesterday was his worst day. It's on and off. But with yesterday having the most pain, it's something we're going to have to discuss in the next 24 hours. So possibility of an IR stint there for Christian McCaffrey. Big news, of course, for the 49ers. And luckily, you know, Jordan Mason looked pretty darn good last week. So they should be able to stay afloat, of course, without McCaffrey. But big loss. I mean, certainly arguably their best player right there.
Yeah, but Jordan Mason filled in like a super beast. So if I'm the Niners, it's a no-brainer deal. Like, you're going big picture here.
No doubt.
I'd throw him on IR and go ahead and rest that thing up, man. We'll see you. We'll see you around Thanksgiving time.
All right, Drew Brees has been chatting about the defense of Mike Zimmer as we get ready for the Cowboys to take on his former team in the New Orleans Saints. And this is what he had to say about the stress he went through preparing for Zim.
You went up against Mike Zimmer, the defensive coordinator, when he was with the Vikings and with the Bengals. I mean, this guy's he's a heck of a coach. They put those two linebackers right up in there in those A gaps between the center and the guard, and they bluff them, they bring four over there, multiple coverages, and they got this guy, Micah Parsons. Nobody can block him. And the crowd noise works in their favor. They're loud, and it's hard to communicate. You got some young tackles out there in New Orleans. Maybe a protection plan. What do you see about that matchup there, Drew?
I'll say this. We played against Zim a bunch, and there's never a week that I expended more mental energy in getting prepared for a defense than going up against a Mike Zimmer defense. Because just like you said, the minute they walk up those two linebackers in the A-gaps, even if they're just bluffing them, right, it gets you thinking so much about, man, where can I get the ball out? And what coverage are they potentially rolling to when they do bring some sort of a combination, whether it's both of these guys or they overload the right, they overload the left, they spin, is it spinning to this quarters or this palms we used to call it? Or is it more 3-by-1? They're going to spend a single high. Like, what? Where are my answers, right? How am I getting this thing protected down in distance, right? Like, what do we need to do to combat this? So it was, man, it took so much mental energy. And we had to have such a precise plan for all of it. So, yeah, bottom line is, if you don't have a plan, he will make you look stupid.
It's amazing. I mean, Drew Brees, certainly one of the better quarterbacks of his era, and put in a ton of attention to detail. And just, I mean, the stress that he certainly felt there going up against Zim. I mean, it's exciting for a Cowboys fan to have him as your defensive coordinator. And that was on John Gruden's YouTube channel. We had some people like, is that John Gruden?
Yeah.
Sure was, John. Good old John Gruden there. Chatting football.
Yeah, you know, it's incredible that to listen to the folks that have played under Zim or have gone against him. You know, I would have made a much more concerted effort to bring this guy in a long time ago. Like, what were we doing in the Garrett years when he became available?
Yeah, I mean, certainly one of the best defensive minds over the last couple of decades here in the National Football League. Let's slide into the top 10 most disgusting foods around the world as I just consume some pickles, pig feet, which some do consider a delicacy and think is delicious.
I believe it's the durian fruit that RW3 Roy White ate a number of years ago. I was actually upstairs on 12 in the old studio when he ate the World Cup. I think this was World Cup 2014.
Yeah, Roy eats the world.
Man. And there were some nasty things every damn day he was eating, like he'd failed a bet payoff.
It's disgusting. Yeah.
The most horrible choices from around the world. Whoever was playing that day, Roy had to eat the most disgusting thing from one of those countries.
Putting himself at risk.
Well, there. And that also was the World Cup, too, when he got hit with the baguette. That's where we get the whack for the ladies.
Yep.
Now, the durian fruit looks pretty interesting. There's spikes all over it or whatever.
Oh, my gosh.
So, you crack that thing open, and it smells like a funky meat. It does not smell fruitish.
Was that the worst thing you've ever eaten? Are you willing to go on record now with the pig feet right there? Is that
I'd still go with the tripe that I had in South Africa.
Oh, you've eaten tripe before?
Yeah, I didn't really realize what it was, but I was just, you know, sampling.
That's awful. I think it's probably the liver, you know, eating beef liver.
Yeah.
It's probably the most
liver's
disgusting
thing. Liver's got a very
thing.
Unique flavor to it.
And then I hate black olives.
What's going on, bro?
I'm sorry.
Greek salad with no black olives.
I know it's like, how do you have a muffalata without the? Yeah, I don't know. I don't have it.
Without the muff.
No muff. No muff.
Just a lot of.
Just a lot of. If it hold the muff, please.
There's a lot of black olives on every one of those muffalatas.
I love it.
Awful. I don't think I've ever eaten a black olive because I just assumed that I would hate it.
Yeah.
You know. But for me, it's mushrooms. That's the one thing like mushrooms. I can't eat. Period.
Texture?
I think it's a combination of the texture and the flavor.
Mm. Wow. Okay. We got a lot of good text, like rotten duck egg being in here.
Why would you eat a rotten duck egg?
It's a delicacy for some. Liver is definitely being texted in. Rocky Mountain oysters, of course. We got a bunch of text for this balut egg. I don't know if I'm saying that right, but it's a duck egg with the embryo inside. I believe that's actually going to be
half developed bird.
That's crazy.
It looks absolutely disgusting.
Yeah.
I know tripes and menudo, and I've had menudo, but this, I don't know. This was definitely a different type of cooked variety that I had there, and it was pretty darn awful. Lucius, worst, most disgusting thing?
Yeah, I went over to somebody's house and they served fish, and the fish still had his face and his eyes everything.
That's weird.
So you got to look back at the damn.
Yeah.
I was like, man, I can't eat this.
I love that,
man. Cut his damn head off.
I go yeah, for it. Was it fried up or?
No, it looked kind of grilled. So it, was, okay. It looked like it's a fish, bro.
Yeah.
It's a fish on a plate with some veggies.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they had those little dehydrated fish too. Look like bait.
Sardines?
I don't know what they were, but I didn't eat them. Yeah, they little dehydrated terrible. Fish yeah. looked like bait. And I was like, wow, what?
Sardines or something is just crazy. Somebody's
my dog eats sardines.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
Good dog food.
Hoghead cheese got texted in.
Hoghead cheese. Not bad. What, okay.
I don't even know. I've never even heard of that.
It's not like a stank.
It's like a sausage.
Limburger cheese. Smells like vomit, tastes like vomit from the
this, I could see that.
Oh my gosh. Hoghead cheese looks. That looks like the most disgusting thing in the world.
All right, is it hog or is it cheese?
What?
Is it a hog or is it cheese?
Head cheese or brawn, cold cut terrine or meat jelly that originated in Europe?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
That looks
horrifying.
It truly looks like vomit. That's awful.
Yeah, that's...
I remember the words head cheese from like elementary school cafeteria because our bus would go out and pick some kids up from the country before it swung back into the... area where the school was, and some of these guys would bring the head cheese and the beef tongue.
Oh,
yeah,
man! Our guy Twillo Andy is a big fan of this balut. He said it's delicious. He can down three or four in one sitting. The picture's pretty messed up.
Balut egg,
yeah.
I think anything that's kind of jellied, you know, like
gefilte fish.
Well, yeah, like exactly. Eel,
like congealed.
Yeah, yeah. Anything that's kind of got that kind of that rubbery jelly kind of clear look, not like jelly like you would put on bread, but anything jellied always makes me feel.
So this is actually meat parts that come from the head of the hog congealed together.
Yeah.
That's crazy,
dude. This ballot egg is crazy.
It's off-putting.
I am.
Is that the thing that's made with blood? With animals' blood?
No. We'll get to some of this stuff
right now. This cannot be real. People cannot be eating this.
Yeah. We've got a bunch of texts in about it.
You're eating an uncooked baby bird.
Yeah, basically. It's pretty crazy. Okay. Honorable mentions we got are a whole sheep's head.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
People used to eat brains, and then you got mad cow's disease.
Why are we eating brains?
What are we doing?
Yeah,
man?
Mad cow's disease stopped all that.
I can't eat anything that's looking back brains. At me. It's looking back at me. I can't eat it. Talk my head off.
Yeah. I don't know.
I'll do something.
Yeah.
This is like...
I don't want to see a death face.
No. Yeah,
I got to eat you?
Yeah, like a whole hog?
When they're roasted, it's pretty cool with the little thing in their mouth, but you got to decorate it. You know what I mean? You got to put something in his mouth to look good and some veggies in the eyes or something.
You got
to
have the bells and whistles. It's
messed up. Number 10 is lye-steeped fish, which is a Norwegian dish consisting of cod that has been steeped for many days in lye, which is a powerful chemical that is normally used as a food ingredient. Apparently, the lye gives the cod a thrilling caustic taste.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds disgusting. 9 is fermented fish, which is a staple in Sweden.
Probably super healthy.
8 is century eggs. Chinese dish preserving duck, chicken, or quail eggs in a mixture of clay, ash, salt, lime, and rice straw for several weeks for several months.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Clay and ash. Never want that a part of my ingredients list.
And this looks like a green. It looks just gross as hell. 7 is fermented shark. People are eating that.
Yeah. I don't eat Iceland. Apparently, I try a shark steak. You know, sounds kind of nice. Put it on the green egg.
Well, this fermented shark. I mean, Anthony Bourdain. Yeah. May he rest in peace. He would eat everything. He even was like, he was gagging. Yeah. I couldn't do
it.
It
was Icelandic.
One. Yeah.
Did he eat ash?
I don't think I don't think he had the century eggs.
Okay.
But he did have the fermented shark. 6 is tuna eyeballs. This is what you're talking about, Lucius. It's like literally just the tuna eyeball.
Yeah, that's it.
With the eye and all.
That's an Indiana Jones meal.
And some messed up
ooshiba,
stuff.
Ooshiba, ooshiba, ooshiba.
Top 5, number 5, here you go, Brian. Blood soup.
Blood soup.
Vietnamese dish.
Yeah.
It's raw duck and geese blood.
Blood pudding is another one.
And it's usually served right as the bird is slaughtered to ensure maximum freshness.
Oh, my Lord.
4 is human placenta.
For what?
What?
Oh, yeah. Right. You capsule that thing. Yeah. Very nutrient dense. Yeah. Very bioavailable. Very off.
Somebody's really eating it with a knife and a fork and seasoning it like liver?
Some people, they'll freeze it.
Did you see the placenta? Oh, wait, yeah, never mind.
I didn't get to see the placenta. Yeah, I was FaceTiming in the airport.
It's like what you imagine like venom shoots out from his wrist or like his mouth or whatever. Just like a black gunky thing.
Okay, the balut ends up coming in at number 3, the fertilized duck egg. It's a baby bird. So sad. Two is baby mice wine. This is a traditional Chinese and Korean wine. It's considered a health tonic.
Ooh, maggot.
You can like see the baby mice at the bottom of the wine.
It always has to be the babies.
Aww. I don't get
it. So you take mice and you put it in a bottle of wine and let it sit there?
And they make wine and it looks absolutely bizarre. But number one most disgusting food in the world is maggot-filled cheese.
That's,
No.
That's France.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
It's a type of cheese that has to be left in the sun.
Italy, I think.
Until it becomes rotten and full of maggots.
Yeah.
And then you consume?
And then you eat it.
My buddy, he brought a bottle of booze back from the Philippines that had baby cobras in it.
Yeah. Oh, what the hell?
Baby cobra booze.
Yeah, this is Italian.
Oh, here we go.
That maggot-filled meal, like, to be the first guy to make it, you had to convince other people to eat it? No, I promise you, it's fantastic, bro.
The top of the sheep's cheese.
That must have been after, like, a three-year famine.
Here we go.
I'll try it, dude. 300-year.
The top of the sheep's cheese block was removed like a lid so that flies could lay their eggs inside. The larva of the cheese flies would burrow around and digest the fat. This process would be so advanced that the cheese would develop a soft liquid texture close to complete breaking apart. It remains uncertain if the pungent smell was what would cause people to weep or it was fear of the live maggots jumping off into the eater's tongue.
Come on, bro.
You got to be kidding me.
Live maggots?
Yeah. Oh, dude.
For what?
That must have started as a survival, right? Like you couldn't store the cheese properly, so it happened. And you're like, well, could we still eat it?
This is an
Italian. Somebody got hungry enough to try it.
I guess if you grow up and you're just eating this stuff in your culture and it's not a big deal. Like you're
starving. You're starving. There's something going on.
Oh, and 100%. If you're starving, you're going to eat anything. Yeah. Like all of this sounds disgusting right now. If you're starving, I'm eating that egg.
I'm talking about for them to come up with this, they had to be starving.
Yeah. Oh, fair. Yeah. 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 These are very interesting.
Yeah, but, very much so.
Like I'm leaving this cheese out here to just go ahead and ferment so maggots develop.
No, it's still good.
Yeah, it's good. What are they eating?
Oh, no, go ahead, man. You're good.
I mean, there is a coffee for monkey poop as well. That was honorable mention, 214.
Monkey poop coffee?
Yeah, there's some monkey poop coffee.
What are we doing?
Cowboys, what is Mike Zimmer doing to change the defense? Full report on that. Football's finest coming up at 5 o'clock. And before too long, in under an hour now, Brian's bet payoff in an edition of what you're drinking and what you thinking here. It's the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan.
Go see him today or visit ClassicChevrolet.com. This is Texas. This is Classic Chevrolet. Together, let's drive, relax, and enjoy the difference. Based on new Chevrolet registrations 2023.
Thank you, Lucius. G-Bag Nation, 105.3 The Fan. We are coming up on what you're drinking, what you're thinking inside the expressway at 520. And at the same time that starts, Brian Broaddus's bet payoff of the little Nitro Gummy Bear will become initiated. Thanks for making us part of your day. Jacob DeGrom on the hill tonight. First pitch 9:10 here on your home of the Rangers as he makes his debut after 14 months off following Tommy John surgery. Started just 6 games last year. He was outstanding, but then the injury happened. Rangers win the World Series without him. And now he's back on a significantly different team. And a team in which Kumar Rocker was amazing last night in his big league debut. So a lot of great things going on. And speaking of great sports things going on, you know, this Mike Zimmer story is hot. You know, to what extent is he changing the Cowboys defense? And what does it mean for their chances of, you know, realizing some goals? Morning News caught up with DeMarcus Ware here, who played his first 2 seasons under Zim when he was drafted in 2005 and then the following year in 2006. And he's focusing just on Micah Parsons, guys, who had a great quote a couple of days ago saying he's excited because Zim gave him the keys to the defense. And Ware kind of speaking in the same vein here, he says, Micah needed someone to come in to move him around a little bit to help him be a lot more disruptive. I got to see him play on the defensive line, a little bit of linebacker. That's where Micah needs to be. The offenses do not need to be able to point Micah out and say he's always on the left side. So I wanted to ask you, Brian, you know, what Micah means when he talks about having the keys to the defense and what we're going to notice defensively watching the games from that perspective.
Yeah, I think that, Micah, you know, you could say the keys to the defense, maybe look at it a couple of different ways. I mean, maybe you need to ask Mike about this one once I heard it. But keys to the defense could be a couple of different things. Micah could understand what Zimmer's trying to do, keys being like, okay, what do I have to do in order to have some success in this defense? Or you could think of keys in the defense of that he's allowing Micah to have the freedom and the latitude to do things that he needs to do to feel like that he can make plays.
That was the context of the answer more.
Yeah, yeah. I was just kind of, you know, I was sitting there thinking, well, what way would take it? But I do believe it is more about that, more about the him allowing Micah to do what he needs to do. If Micah feels like that he could win a certain matchup, mm-hmm. or he can work with somebody to win a matchup as a combination, a twist. You know, we saw him and Tank playing together on the same side. Maybe it's one of those things where they're kind of like thinking, okay, if we work together, they're going to have to single block both of us. They can't double us here. So
is that calls that he's making, like play in, play out, or does he go to the sideline and request
I think that Zim and those guys do a really good job. Zim being down on the field, they probably sit there on the sidelines and think, okay, this is what they're giving us. Hmm. This is how they're trying to block us. This next series, let's go with this. And Mike is like, yeah, or he could come off the field. I remember many a time sitting on the sidelines or standing on the sidelines in Green Bay and stuff, and Wayne Simmons and one of our linebackers would come off of Fritz Schirmer and go, Fritz, you can't call that because this is what they're doing to us. And then Fritz would say, okay, let's think about this. You're going to take it through this gap. And then, sure enough, they would do it the next series, and it would come back and it would work. That was the adjustment that the players on the field could tell you. I mean, yeah, they have the pads and all that stuff now to be able to run it back and kind of see. But players on the field, Micah knows what they're trying to do to him. And he can convey that to Mike and the coaches, and then they can adjust as they need to go.
Where on the overall defensive changes, he says they blitzed a lot. I know that from a cornerback standpoint, a linebacker standpoint, a lot more movement on the D-line and bringing guys off the edge. I know that playing with Zimmer, how his defense is, it was a lot more aggressive. It wasn't about, okay, you sit here, you play the B-gap, hopefully things work. I need these athletic guys moving around to create havoc in the backfield. What do you think, Wolchuk? Is Zimmer going to significantly disrupt what has become Cowboy cynicism as far as what they're capable of? That's what we're hoping to see. The offense is good enough to win a Super Bowl, even without a great running game. I mean, the amount of points they're scoring – and I think you look at, you know, what Tom Brady and Patrick Mahomes had in so many of these championships that we've seen over the last two decades. It's actually an elite defense that allows us to play, you know, without having to score 30 points in order to win playoff games.
I think absolutely this has the makings of something that could be very special. Now, you're going to get tested on Sunday. I think they're going to answer that test. But everything you're hearing and what Brian just said about Micah is super exciting. And what I also love is, and I think that this is the difference that is going to play out when it comes to playing these motion offenses. Dan Quinn's style was more of like, all right, we're going to sit back and we're going to play what the offense does. Whereas Zimmer, to Ware's point, attack, right? I'm going to dictate. I don't care what you're doing. I don't care where you're lining up. I don't care where you're motioning. We've got our plan. We are going to dictate our game to you. We're not sitting back and playing to whatever it is you're doing and trying to answer to that. Mike Zimmer is going to set the tone with his defense, and they've got players that can do that. So to me, what they're doing up front, I loved what we saw a week ago. You definitely exploited a bad offensive line. You might be able to do it again this week, depending on how banged up the Saints offensive line is again.
Saints Sunday at noon, then Ravens next week at AT&T at 3:25. Then you get the Giants and the Steelers, but then it's Lions, Niners. By the time we get to Halloween, that Niners game is October 27th. We'll have finality on this, you know, and I don't know what the chances are. What are the chances that this defense is going to live up to the hype or the hopes, you know, to be good enough to take you to an NFC championship game and hopefully beyond? The personnel is there. You have the right coach. Why not, Chief? Why not?
Yeah, I know. I'm totally with you. I think the defense, I mean, there were times even when Dan Quinn, who has struggled versus the Shanahan offenses, there were times where it wasn't your defense that really let you down in some of these playoff games. It was your offense. I think that's still where the questions remain. Will they rise to the occasion? I have much more faith in this defense, even though it's a one-game sample in this new era.
I got much more confidence in the D than I do the offense.
All righty, that's three down, two to go here in the nation. In addition to football's finest coming up?
Yes, well, we do have to address a disturbing text that we just received in regards to Broadus's Nitro situation. Ooh. That is on the horizon.
Okay.
But we also have our Jim Harbaugh football guy quote of the day and a week two watch list next year in the nation.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
Like
I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.